Tonight, we're going to continue a lesson that I started a couple of weeks ago regarding the Christian and alcoholic beverages. And if you remember, we introduced our lesson by talking about that the Bible prohibits drunkenness and that the Bible also commands us to be sober. And that the word sober, as used in the Bible, has reference to abstaining from alcoholic beverages. And in our last discussion about this, we also looked at this distinction that sometimes the word wine in the Bible means an alcoholic beverage, and there's clear examples of that. And sometimes the word wine in the Bible refers to a non-alcoholic beverage. And there's some clear examples of that as well. Well, tonight I would like to develop our study a little bit further as we continue to think about this topic and to look at some Old Testament verses regarding the use of alcoholic beverage. Specifically, it's being used as a recreational or as a beverage, that is, as something that's being drunk for the purposes of enjoyment or for the purposes of recreation. And as we think about these verses, I hope that you will understand what the Bible has to say about these things, and that each one of us will be open to thinking about the Scriptures and to thinking about God's Word and to examining our own lives as well to see if there's any practices within our own life that need to be changed in some way so that we can follow what the Scriptures have to say about this topic. And so let's open up first of all to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. And several of these verses that we're going to be looking at are found in the book of Proverbs. And as we consider what these verses say, let's think about what the Bible is teaching in regard to drinking recreationally, that is to imbibing alcoholic beverages recreationally, that is simply for enjoyment or something like that. Now I say recreationally in distinction to, for example, for medicinal purposes, because in regard to the Bible's teaching about drinking alcoholic beverages, there is some teaching in the Bible that says that it's okay to use alcohol as a medicine or as a way of combating certain physical symptoms and things of that nature. And we'll look at a couple of those passages as well as we think about this topic. But first of all, let's notice Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. And in just thinking about this verse, I believe that it is clear that the writer has in mind an alcoholic beverage. And the verse simply says this: wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Now, the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book that has a lot of short, simple sayings or aphorisms that talk about wise things to do within one's life. And then it also talks about things that are not wise to do within one's life. And in this particular verse, the writer of this particular proverb, considered to be Solomon by many, is talking about alcoholic beverages. And he says that wine is a mocker. And by that expression, a mocker, the writer is saying that when a person drinks alcoholic beverages, that this alcoholic beverage is going to make a mockery of your life, and that it's going to be something that you regret doing. But then notice again, strong drink is a brawler, a brawler. And a brawler, of course, is someone who is eager and ready to get into fights and to, oppose others. And so, of course, alcoholic beverages, as part of their characteristics, they cause the senses to be imbued. They cause by the drinking of the alcohol, it causes our inhibitions to be lowered. And a person who normally would not be a brawler, is what the proverb writer is saying. That is, when he's sober, when he is not under the influence of alcohol at all, he would not get into a fight. But when he drinks that alcohol, then that lowers his inhibitions, and it causes him to get into these fights or this brawling. And so that's really what the verse is talking about. It's talking about the influence of alcohol on our inhibitions and the influence that alcohol has in influencing us to do something that we would not normally do. Now, that does not take a lot of alcohol to do that. Last time when we were discussing this, we talked about the state's definition of being drunk. And they put their definition of being drunk at a 0.08 blood level. So 0.08, I forget whether it's a percentage or whether it's the milliliters of alcohol within one's blood, but that is the definition that the state of Texas puts upon drunkenness. But the Bible does not have that kind of definition. And the reason the Bible doesn't have that kind of definition is because that inhibitions vary from person to person. And the Bible being an all-encompassing book, that is, it's written to every single person, it's going to be written to even those persons whose inhibitions levels are very, very low. And so as we read this verse here, it just says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and then this, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Now, we don't want to be people who are not wise. In fact, Paul tells us to be wise in the book of Ephesians, that we as Christians are supposed to be wise people. And as wise people, I don't think that we would be following the Apostle Paul's teaching if we were to be led astray by alcohol. And so the Bible forbids this type of drinking. Now turn over a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 29 through 35. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 29 through 35. Now as we turn here, let's consider once again that we're in the book of Proverbs and we are dealing with statements of wisdom and how we ought to live our lives and how we ought to manage our affairs and things that we ought to do at a very personal level, because that's what the book of Proverbs is about. In other chapters of the book of Proverbs, the subject of adultery is touched on. The subject of fornication is touched on within the book of Proverbs. There's subjects related to gluttony in the book of Proverbs, subjects related to also in reference to being an industrious person and the sin of sloth, that is being lazy when you shouldn't be. So those things are looked at in the book of Proverbs. But now we have some practical teaching regarding alcoholic beverages here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 29 through 35. It says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of a mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Well, this is a very pathetic description of someone who has drank a large quantity of alcohol. But and the Bible acknowledges that when you drink a large quantity of alcohol, that you are going to get drunk and that you are going to experience these things. But I want you to notice the prohibition in verse 31 specifically and what the Bible is saying here. The prohibition is not don't drink a large quantity of alcohol. The prohibition in verse 31 is do not look on the wine when it is red. And the idea here is don't even touch it. Don't even look at it so as to possibly bring yourself into a situation where you would become this person. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. You see, it's very enticing. It's very tempting. It's something that people want to do. They want to imbibe it. But the Bible says, don't even look at it. And so that's something that we ought to consider when thinking about this topic, when thinking about what the Bible has to say about drinking alcoholic beverages recreationally. Now let's turn over to what some of the prophets have to say about this. In Micah chapter 2 and verse 11, it's interesting to me that the prophet Micah has some things to say about alcoholic beverages. Micah chapter 2 and verse 11. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. In case you're looking through the prophets, right? Micah chapter 2 and verse 11. Now listen to what Micah says. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. The King James Version says, even he shall be the prophet of this people. Well, what does this have to say about drinking alcoholic beverages? Well, first of all, notice the description of this particular prophet or this prattler. He's described as a man who should walk in a false spirit, first of all. Secondly, it says he speaks a lie. Now look at what the lie is that he speaks. Here it is. I will prophesy to you of wine and drink. Now there's the lie that he's speaking about. There's the area that he is a false spirit in, verse 11 says. And so what Micah is saying is that the people around here would love to listen to this guy because they want license to drink that alcoholic beverages. They want license to drink the wine and to have a sanction from a prophet that they could do that. But Micah says, no, no, that man is speaking in a false spirit and he is telling a lie. Now let's turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. And when we come here, we see some other statements regarding alcoholic beverage. Habakkuk 2 and verse 15. This verse says, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. Now here we have an example of a woe pronounced upon someone who gives drink to his neighbor and presses the bottle on him and for the purpose of making him drunk that he can look on his nakedness. But the woe is pronounced upon the fact that he's giving this bottle to his neighbor to begin with. And that's something that the prophet is saying shouldn't be done in the first place. Now these are some Old Testament passages, but I want to call attention to another Old Testament passage as well. And that is in the book of Proverbs again, and in chapter 31. And in this particular passage, we see what I mentioned earlier about some of the medicinal uses of alcohol within the scriptures, because the Bible certainly says that alcohol can be used as a medicine. And we're going to see exactly some of the circumstances that alcohol is used as a medicine here. But notice there's a prohibition before it mentions this. This is in Proverbs 31, starting in verse 4. It says this, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. So notice the prohibition here that the proverb writer gives us, that it is not for kings, and it's not for princes. And why is that? Because they are in a position of great influence. They are in a position of great power. And drinking alcoholic beverages could pervert their judgment and pervert their justice that they dispense to those who are beneath them in their courts of power. And so if they were to drink, it's possible that they could pervert that justice. They could forget the law. It could affect them in that way so that they pervert justice. And that the afflicted then would not receive their appropriate due in their courts of law. And so it is forbidden for them to drink at all. But in verses 6 and 7, notice this. Here's the purpose of strong drink. Here's the purpose of alcohol. This is what it's to be used for in biblical times. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. That is, a person who is about to die. A person who's suffering from some terrible malady of some kind that's causing an intense amount of pain. Now, alcohol can be used as a pain reducer, as a pain reliever. And that's what he's saying here. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Now, this is talking about a depressed person, a person who has a depression of some kind. Now, you have to remember that in the Bible times, they did not have specific medicines that target specific symptoms and specific illnesses like we have today. But they did have a general medicine that they used to treat various different afflictions. And that general medicine that they used was alcohol. We might compare that to some kind of pain relievers that we have today, like Tylenol or aspirin or ibuprofen or something like that. That's a general medicine that we use today. Does a much better job of treating pain than alcohol does. And so give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Now look at verse 7. Let him drink and forget his poverty. That is his poverty of health, right? And remember his misery no more. Because his health condition is causing him to be miserable. It's causing him pain. And so he is to use alcohol to treat those painful circumstances and situations. Now, I would not stand before you and recommend that you use today's alcoholic beverages to do that without consulting with a doctor or a physician first in that regard. And I would not recommend that you just go out and say, oh, I'm in pain, so I'm going to drink a bunch of alcohol. There are much better things to treat pain today than alcohol. But like I mentioned before, in their day and their time, they didn't have a lot of the medicines that we have today that treats pain and that treats especially pain that is part of the process of one who is passing away or one who is dying. And we recognize even today that we give very strong painkillers to people in those circumstances, like morphine and other drugs like that, that are controlled drugs. And they just don't let those drugs get out and go anywhere to anyone. And neither should we allow alcoholic beverages to come into our life for just any reason that we think, you know, well, I've got a headache, so I'm going to go drink a whole bunch of alcohol. No, take a Tylenol. Take some ibuprofen or something like that. Don't turn to this strong medicine. You know, you wouldn't say, I've got a headache, I'm going to give me some morphine, right? You wouldn't do that. So why would we do it with alcohol as well? But nevertheless, the Bible does say that alcohol is used for some medicinal purposes. Now I'd like to turn to the New Testament and look at a few verses there before we end our lesson this evening on this particular topic. And would like to take a look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to begin with. This is the verse that we looked at last time a little bit, but let's look at it a little bit more and notice what the Apostle Paul has to say in this regard. He says in verse 17, by the way, one of those verses that I was talking about, don't be unwise. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, or in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So instead of drinking wine, we should be filled with the Spirit. And we should let the Spirit fill us and give us joy and peace and all of those things. And how do we do that? Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so instead of going after alcoholic beverages, let's turn to singing praises to God. Let's let that bring joy to our life. Let's let that fill our lives with God's Spirit. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, and think about this in relationship to alcoholic beverages. The Apostle Peter here writing, he says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Now think about the things that he says here and all this list of sins that he's saying, this is how the Gentiles act, but we don't act like this. Well, what are some of these things? Lasciviousness, that's the unchaste handling or the impure handling of men and women with one another. Lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Where do you find large consumptions of alcohol in our society today? Well, just go down to any party that someone is hosting. That's a reveling that the Apostle Peter is talking about here that we don't participate in anymore as Christians. Banquetings, those are places where large consumptions of alcohol are imbibed by a lot of people. Well, Christians don't participate in that anymore because of the change in their lives. And so the Gentiles certainly live in that way. The Gentiles live in lasciviousness and lusts and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries, but not the Christian. Well, what about Jesus? You know, a lot of people cite Jesus as an example of one who made and drank an alcoholic beverage. Well, consider that Jesus lived under the old law, right? And the things that we studied about earlier in the book of Proverbs would have been applicable to his life. Well, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 said that drinking alcohol was not wise. Do we really believe that Jesus would have done something that was not wise within his life? I don't believe that he would have. In Micah 2 and verse 11, it said the one who prophesies to the people and says, drink, that person's a false prophet. Do we believe that Jesus would follow that example and be like that person who says, drink to the people and be a false prophet? I don't believe he would have. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 15, and then also in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11, which we didn't look at specifically, but in those passages, the one who gives his neighbor a drink is said to be under a woe. Now, do we believe that Jesus would do something that would cause God to say unto him, woe unto you? Well, I just don't believe that Jesus would do that. I don't believe that Jesus wouldn't be not wise. I don't believe that Jesus would be a false prophet. And I don't believe that Jesus would be under a woe from God for giving somebody an alcoholic beverage. Well, then somebody raises the question, well, what about John chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 where Jesus turned the water into wine? It's probably one of the most frequent objections that people raise in regard to this. Well, let's read that passage together. John chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 and just think about it for a moment. It says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now, last time we discussed this, we talked about the different uses of the word wine, and that sometimes the word wine can mean an alcoholic beverage, and sometimes the word wine means a non-alcoholic beverage in the Bible. And we looked at different examples of those things, and we concluded that really the thing that determines whether or not the word wine is being talked about as an alcoholic beverage or as a non-alcoholic beverage is the context. And the context tells us, you know, whether or not the word wine is being used in one way or the other. Well, in this context, what do we find? Well, we know that drunkenness is a sin, and that we shouldn't give someone so much wine so as to make them drunk. But in this context, Jesus is seen creating hundreds of gallons of the beverage here. Would Jesus create hundreds of gallons of an alcoholic beverage so that people could drink all of that and be drunken by it? I don't believe that Jesus would. But notice this as well. The governor of the feast was able to discern between the bad wine and between the good wine. Now, I think that's an interesting point. Because if this were an alcoholic wine that were being served, we already read in the Old Testament that alcoholic wine takes away a person's ability to discern. It takes away his inhibitions. So how could this be an alcoholic wine that was being served when the governor was able to discern between the two types? Notice also that the context says that they were drinking freely. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, or when they have freely drunk, then that which is worse. Now, why would they do that? So that after they've freely drunk, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference, or that they would have the better one before the one that's later. But they were able to tell the difference here. They could discern between the first type and the second type. And so you see that this was not an alcoholic beverage, or else they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Question, would Jesus really give an alcoholic beverage to those who were freely drinking so as to induce a state of drunkenness? I don't believe he would. Well, given these things, I don't believe that the wine that Jesus made here in John chapter 2 was an alcoholic wine at all. I believe that it was just a really good grape juice. Now, did you know that you can go to Branson, Missouri, and there is a store in Branson, Missouri that sells non-alcoholic wine, and that is available to anyone to walk into that store and get it today. In fact, one time our family went in there and I actually sampled some of these non-alcoholic wines that were produced at a nearby vineyard, and they were bottled up there. And they were taken then to this store, and they were sold as non-alcoholic wine. Now, I think that that type of wine would be a very good wine to drink because it doesn't have the alcoholic properties in it. And it's not just the same necessarily as grape juice. Now, I know a lot of times we may think that non-alcoholic wine is the same thing as grape juice, but it isn't necessarily. The folks up there in Branson who sell this non-alcoholic wine, they make it through a different process than grape juice is made, and it has a different flavor, and it has some of the same qualities and characteristics of the alcoholic wines, in the sense that it has the kind of odor to it, and it has a certain color, and then it has a certain flavor. And they can be kind of wet or dry, you know, like they judge the other kind of wines. But these are non-alcoholic wines. And you can buy them up in Branson, Missouri. Or at least you could the last time I was there and the last time I was in the store. So we don't need to necessarily assume that every time the word wine is used in the Bible that it is an alcoholic wine. Why, even in our own culture, the word wine doesn't necessarily mean alcoholic. And there are cases where we can get non-alcoholic wine in the world today. Well, we're going to end our lesson there. There are some other things that we could say about recreational drinking and the effects it has on the body, recreational drinking, and the poor example that it is to others who are around us. We may save those things for another lesson at some other time. But let's just end on this particular note this evening, that any time one takes something that is a controlled substance and uses that controlled substance And alcohol is a controlled substance, by the way. The state regulates it. The state licenses it. The state taxes it. It is a controlled substance. Anytime we take those controlled substances and we try to use them in a way that the Bible tells us not to use them, then we're getting into some very difficult territory and ways in which we're really going to hurt ourselves instead of help ourselves. You know, that's the deceitful thing about sin. Sin promises a good time. Sin promises to make you feel good. Sin promises that it's going to resolve all your problems and get rid of all your troubles. But you see, it doesn't really do that. It just leads to worse situations, more difficulties, more problems, more troubles, and then that results in more pain than you had to begin with in the first place that you were trying to get rid of. So let's leave all of these things behind. Let's resolve that we're not going to be the kind of people that permits alcohol within our lives, and that we're going to refuse that. And we're going to make that decision in our life, and that we're going to live according to the will of God in that regard. Well, this evening, as we talk about these things, we certainly are talking about matters that concern right and wrong. And we want to teach what God's Word has to say on those things. And if you would like to study further upon this topic, my office is open and I'm ready and willing to sit down with you and talk to you about it more. And I have several good books within my library that discuss this topic, and I'd be happy to let you read those books and borrow them. And as we think about these things in close tonight, let's just say this, that we want everyone to live their lives according to God's will, because we want everyone to go to heaven someday and to be with God eternally. And that is our goal as Christians. We want to be with Him, and we want to be with Christ. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by hearing the Word of God and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of sins. If you're a Christian, but you haven't been living faithfully and you need the prayers of the church this evening, then we invite you to come forward tonight and request those prayers while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.